Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. I'm so glad you're joining us today. And I'm excited because today, right after the show, I head up to our cabin at a lake in our beautiful foothills of the Cascades in Western Washington for a Woman of Wisdom conference retreat, where we'll be co-creating our conference program. Our conference, we're in our 21st year, it's every February. So I'm really excited about this, and I love to be in this selection process. As difficult as it will be to review close to 100 proposals, and they're all so wonderful, and it's hard to turn down workshops, but there's a limited space. So we do this in a sacred circle with everyone contributing their wisdom, and it's done with honor and respect to all the gifts being offered to us. And we do it with awareness this is for many women, and it's done with a sense of the greater, higher voice of Woman of Wisdom. What women are calling for us to bring in 2013. So I would love for you to send us lots of good energy as we go through this powerful weekend. So today my guest is Charlotte Tomaino, who will share how to awaken our brains. Charlotte is a clinical neuropsychologist with 30 years of experience. Dr. Tomaino is dedicated to helping patients develop practical solutions for the traumatic loss of brain function. As she worked with patients over time, Tomaino began to witness the power of the human spirit to overcome the seemingly impossible and was inspired to focus her career on the effects of thought and spirituality on the brain. She is a full-time clinician in private practice in White Plains, New York, and is the author of the new book, Awakening the Brain. And you can look at her website at www.awakeningthebrain.com. So welcome, Charlotte, to Voices of Women.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, well, and congratulations on your book. And in your book, you draw from your personal experience. And you were a former nun, which is very fascinating. So you've been using your personal experience to demonstrate how the way you think and what you believe can actually awaken your brain and expand your consciousness. So, you know, the brain's remarkably adaptable, malleable, it's a resilient organ, and you've been working with people with brain injuries, and you know all about these extraordinary abilities and how to access them. So first, I want to know, how did you get interested in the brain?
Well, it was always a fascination to me, but as I was growing up, I had a learning disability, and I had certain difficulties, mostly in language processing. I've never been able to learn a foreign language. Latin was really tough in high school. But later in the 70s, my older sister had a brain injury, and we didn't really know much about it back in the 70s when that happened, and I was just getting into the field of neuropsychology after that, and that really propelled me forward once I saw all of the struggles she went through and my family went through. So I spent many, many years continually exploring the latest things and trying new things. One of the advantages of getting into a field at its beginning is that you have to be very creative and it draws out the best of you. One of the disadvantages is nobody really knows what they're doing, so you have to figure it out. But it was a very formative experience for me, driven by my sister's experience and my family's experience, and that gave me the energy to really persist for a lot of people and make the effort for a lot of people to learn more and to be able to bring more opportunities to people in the healing process. There's really no limit to the possibilities with neuroplasticity.
Well, yes, and it's interesting because I think a lot of us, because of personal experiences like you with your sister, lead us to what our passion is and what our role and purpose in our life is. But how did your experience as a nun shape your work as a neuropsychologist?
Oh, I always say that I'm really glad I was a nun before I became a doctor, because I knew the power of belief. And so I never really got stuck in the limitations of the science. There were many things I was taught in graduate school that turned out to not be true. There were many patients who came to me because other doctors said that there was nothing that could be done. And I had the power of belief as well as the drive from what I had seen my family go through, what I had gone through. So I was willing to try if they were willing to try, and people just taught me. They just surpassed the limits that were previously considered to be not surpassable. There was one woman who came to me, and her neurologist said that what was called the natural history of the lesion in her brain, meaning what we know so far that other people have accomplished, and that this natural history of this lesion she had meant that she would probably never go home to live alone again, never be on her own, would need assisted living or some supported living the rest of her life. And she was one of these very, very independent, determined women, and as long as she was willing to try, I was willing to try. She travels all over the world by herself now. None of that turned out to be true. And that's what we're discovering about the brain. We haven't found the limits, and I don't think there really are any.
Yeah, I believe that too. It's limitless. You know, and if you believe in the possibilities, it's amazing. And when you hear stories, what people have overcome, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is through their own willpower. I mean, that sounds like that woman too. It's like if they really want to not succumb to what the doctors are telling them, they will move forward, because it's almost like a choice, I think, sometimes.
But you really need someone that can give you some guidance, and that's the value of what I do, because people often don't know what to do. And this woman was an IV nurse, and so her fine motor skills were very important to her to be able to put in intravenous needles. And so one of the things we started on was knitting and sewing and piano and drawing and all those fine motor skills. And she was very motivated to do those things because she wanted those skills back. She had had an aneurysm, and it affected one side of her body, her right side. And so she was really motivated to take one step at a time. And every time we came up with another idea of what she could try, she worked on it, and boom, all those skills started coming back. So you need some guidance. You need some knowledge of how the brain works. You need to know what to try first and not jump too far ahead of yourself. So that information is invaluable, but it's really about your own determination to stick with it.
Yes, and it's interesting to say knitting, and I'm just was thinking about all the young people who've taken up knitting again. It's come back, in popularity, and maybe their brains are going to be sharper when they get older from that. And I know a story of a man who.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy.
Pray like a woman. Pray like a woman. Every day. Hey, pray like a woman.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm sorry my computer has frozen and I lost contact on Skype, and so we had a little glitch there, and if my husband's listening, if you could Timbuktu into my computer and get it rebooted, that'd be great. So we're talking to Charlotte Tomaino about developing our brains, and one of the questions I want to ask you, because, you know, having been a nun, is that the spiritual practice and effect it has on the brain.
Yes, this is why neuroscientists study nuns and monks. The ability to keep your focus, especially on something of a spiritual nature, is very powerful. And we haven't even really started tapping into understanding what that provides for us. But when we study the brains of nuns and monks who have meditated for thousands and thousands of hours, what we see is this enormous capacity to be aware and to make choices about our inner world. So these people often seem very happy, very calm, and certainly very focused. And I think the majority of that comes from their religious practice. If you think about what you do when you pray or you meditate, it isn't that they don't have intrusive thoughts. It isn't that their day that didn't go well yesterday doesn't come back and haunt them. It's that they choose constantly to refocus when it appears in their thoughts and put their thoughts on this practice that they've dedicated their lives to. What that ends up doing is strengthening a part of the brain called the cingulate, which is in your frontal lobe, and that's the part of the brain that controls your focus. So if you're all over the map and jumping around and not finishing your thought or wondering why you came into the kitchen and have to go back to the living room to think of it. Meditating strengthens that ability to hold your train of thought and to not get pulled off of it by all the things going on around us. This is a huge issue right now because we're getting so bombarded with technology and with all of the kinds of things coming at us in the world, more so than ever in the history of civilization. So meditation is probably one of the single most powerful things you can do. And actually, you mentioned a little while ago, Chris, that there's a new vogue of knitting, and knitting is actually a very powerful meditative type practice. It gets your mind to quiet as you just let your fingers move and follow the patterns. So anything like that is a balance for this overly stimulating world we have right now.
Yeah, it's really challenging, and I find myself, I just came back from a 2.5 week vacation, and I kind of, you know, sometimes it takes almost that long to quiet down, and yet I come back and I'm still feeling like listening to a teleclass, and my focus of listening to things wasn't very strong, and then when I started to focus on it, realized I'm having a glitch there. I could focus and listen, and it does take that your intention, and I know I do a lot of meditating, so I know that aspect, and so I have that, and yet I go into the kitchen, and what did I forget? And I've learned something that if you go back to where you had your thought, it'll come back. It's a nice.
Yeah, oh, it always does. It always does, but I'd rather work on my focus so that when I get there, I know what I went for. And I'm having the same experience since I wrote this book, and I'm traveling, and I'm doing interviews, and I've learned how to speak in sound bites for television shows. I find my thoughts racing, and when I notice that at the end of the day, then I settle down and I meditate, and because I don't want to lose that inner peace. I don't want to lose that ability to be deeply centered and reflect and choose my words and choose my intention. You know, and it can be lost. Neuroplasticity is what heals us after a brain injury and allows us to do things nobody thought we would be able to. But it's also an effect that works against us and develops really experiences we don't want, like these racing thoughts, if we allow ourselves to be just bombarded by technology and going, going, going all the time. That's training your brain, too. So you really have to have a balance in the level of activity and then the letting go of activity and the level of peace and quiet and inner focus.
And I imagine the importance of it, and they say we're sleep-deprived. That sleep is very important here, too.
It's huge, yes. It's also very important what you do and how you manage your brain right before you go to sleep. They're talking now about sleep hygiene and what you do to manage your nervous system in the couple of hours before you go to sleep. If you're exhausted and yet still on the computer and finishing things and then go to bed and just collapse, you're going to leave your nervous system in this very high stimulation state when you sleep, and it doesn't really give you restful sleep. If you take some time to meditate at night or listen to soft music or read a relaxing book or have a cup of tea with somebody you enjoy talking to or really do something to allow your nervous system to unwind and feel that ease again and let that racing inside you, that speed that we are so accustomed to now, stop and feel that simplicity and that ease, your rest, your sleep will be much deeper and much more restorative because the state you go to sleep in determines the degree of that restoration during the sleep.
Yeah, so my favorite thing is to take a bath and unwind that way, and then sometimes I read myself to sleep something, a novel, something that's entertaining, not a big mind thought.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I think if we find what works for yourself best, you know, and we often go to bed with our problems still, you know, trying to figure out what we're going to do tomorrow or how we're going to resolve this issue that we've got with somebody or a work problem or something, and that's not always good too. So it's kind of important to, you know, set it aside. Just go, it'll still be there in the morning.
Exactly.
It's so easy to do.
And this is what I'm trying to explain about awakening the brain, being awake to how the brain works. It's our consciousness of how it works that actually manages our brain, because we are not our brain. We are a consciousness that lives in this body and manages our exercise, our nutrition, our sleep, our fluids, and manages our focus as well. So we have a consciousness. The more we learn about the brain, the greater that consciousness becomes of what it's actually doing and how we can manage it so that it will give us the experience and the effectiveness. and the emotions and the kind of interactions that we really value and that we're seeking. And this is what you see in people who have long-time spiritual practices. There's usually a kind of kindness in them. There's an openness in them. There's an inner peace that you often see in them. When I first saw the Dalai Lama and I saw that twinkle in his eye, he always has that little grin. And
oh, I know.
How could this man be happy with what happened in his country and his whole world? But he lives from an inner world, not the ups and downs of the outer world, and all of us can do that.
Yeah, I heard a story recently that someone had, in a group setting, someone had come and whispered to him, and somebody important to him, close to him, had passed away, and he went inside and did his own grieving, and then 2 minutes came back and was present to what was happening, and that same grin on his face. So it's like, it's really being, you know, present with what is in the moment, feeling mm-hmm. it, and then you're able to move on, where we yeah. kind of, we're taught to hang on to it, you know, we'll grieve forever, and
yeah, and somehow we feel disloyal to the person if we are continue to be happy in our life. We have a lot of mixed up thinking about these things, because then our effectiveness in the world that we have and the people that are here is often significantly reduced. It doesn't not honor the person who has passed and made their transition. As a matter of fact, a lot of spiritual people feel their presence, even though physically they're no longer there. And that's a great comfort and a very powerful connection. It's a very different experience. The inner world...
Yeah, and I was a friend of mine just had a friend who passed away, had a brain aneurysm, passed very suddenly. And a friend of hers who never knew her, I think, had somebody who passed away, and she was meditating about that person and maybe communicating. And this other person she didn't know came in and said, "Tell Terry I'm okay. And I'm doing great here," and said something that was so her personality that uh-huh. Terry knew. Yeah, she got that message, and that person was, she didn't even know her, you know. So
yeah.
The power of the brain is amazing. We don't even know what it can do.
Yeah, exactly. We're only just beginning to discover how to tune in on those levels and what our real potential is, what higher consciousness is all about, and how to access it. You know, and we're just starting to develop the functions of the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere is the big picture. So it's not the win-lose, it's the win-win. It's the big picture of what's going on the whole planet. We're all in one environment. We're all in one communication system, one economy. And so our separate little villages and who's against who, our competitive world, is ending up causing everybody to lose. We're starting to see the big picture, and the right hemisphere is beginning to see the whole of what's happening, so that we can care for everybody and all of us move forward together. And it's a very exciting time to see what's possible and to understand ourselves this way.
Yeah, and it makes me curious, is there something people can do to focus on enhancing that right hemisphere mm-hmm. of the brain, that bigger picture?
Yeah, when you step back from things and just consider, where will this go? And when you kind of play out scenarios in your head and then choose one that has an end point that you want to stay focused on, that's when you're seeing beyond this immediate reaction that you're having. One of the things that's really an interesting concept is what's called developmental intelligence. And this is what kicks in your later years, in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it's the ability to tap into your life experience. This is for things where there's no right answer. It's what you call on from what you've experienced in the past. Personally, I think a senior moment is taking that pause to step back for a second and say, ooh, I had this feeling, and when I reacted to it the last time, it didn't turn out so good. There's a better way. You know, that's that ability to step back and call on your life experience. This developmental intelligence, that whole vast array that you can look at and choose among the responses that you want. And as we age, there's a lot more fibers in your cortex, which is the thinking part of your brain, that can actually override all those immediate reactions and startled responses and emotions that used to govern us and didn't always turn out so good. that's seeing the big picture.
Yeah, and it's just remembering that, you know, mm-hmm. we don't have to focus on the little details. Sometimes we focus too much on the little things and forget, you know, can't see the forest through the trees. Well, you're listening to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Charlotte Tomino.
Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Gratitude, asks Sacred Space. Tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which embraces each atom of your universe. I am that which makes your environment vibrate with very high frequency. I am that which attracts towards you all the hearts that you shelter. Wouldn't it be wonderful to allow yourself to bathe in the energy of your own sacred space every single day? Learn how to create your inner sacred space using our Essence of Gratitude Trio, which includes the Gratitude in Action, Actions of Gratitude book, our Essence of Gratitude journal, and our Bungee bookmark, all which emanate powerful vibrations that transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of God, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Charlotte Tomino today. And again, that song you heard is a Woman Wisdom song from our WOW CD, which you can purchase on our website. That's the only place you can find it, www.womenofwisdom.org. Very inspirational CD with lots of music from great women. So, Charlotte, I would love for you to start by giving your contact information and where people can find you and purchase your book.
Sure. Well, my book you can we can find information about me on my website, awakeningthebrain.com. And there you can also purchase the book at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or other sources. They're all listed there on the website. All you have to do is click on them. I am in clinical practice in White Plains, New York, so there I do clinical treatment of people with brain issues that they want to explore. And that isn't just limited to people with brain injuries. We work with kids who have learning styles and cognitive styles that are troublesome. And there are a lot of adults that come to us looking at how they might move forward and capitalize on their cognitive style if they knew more about it. So when people are thinking about educational changes and career changes as adults, it's good to have a lot of information about what you're good at and what you want to capitalize on before you invest a lot of time and effort. Trial and error is a lot harder way to go. So there's lots of reasons why people are interested in learning about their brain and learning how it works and taking advantage of that to improve the quality of their life. So we do a lot of work in our immediate area, and I also do some consulting through my website. So you can go on the website and schedule an appointment with me, and we can have a conversation like this, but specifically about you and how you might even find these types of services in your local area or what you might be able to learn from the book and from a conversation with me. So there's lots of different ways to take advantage of all this information that's coming forth.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I would love to talk some more about, we've been talking about the brain function, and let's talk about how the emotions play into that.
Oh, yeah. The limbic system is the part of the brain that processes our emotions, and it's located right underneath the cingulate that controls our focus. And what we know about the limbic system is that it is managed by your focus. So the Dalai Lama, when you told that story of him being told that a person that he had known had made their transition and had died, he went in a couple of minutes deeply within himself. He shifted his focus from this outer activity he was in to an inner awareness of this person and worked with those emotions and reactions and experiences that he had. And when you focus on something and bring the power of your belief to it, you move those emotions and have choice of where you want to move them to. Unfortunately, most people don't really understand this, and lots of people think they are their emotions. And so we have these ideas that there are these depressed people or angry people or silly people, whatever. But emotions are information. And if you use your thought process to just observe the emotions you're having, they give you a lot of information about the people you're with or what's good for you or not good for you, all kinds of things that if you just take that minute to reflect and think about the information that's coming from the compass of your body, those emotions can guide you but not run you. Those emotions can give you information, but not take over.
Yeah, emotions that happens really so often where we, kind of run away with it. It's like you're in a washing machine and you've just been thrown about with your emotions and you never get out of it. And sometimes if you think of yourself as kind of being above that, looking into your emotions rather than being in them.
Exactly. That's it. The focus, the ability to focus, that cingulate can aim to the out and can aim to the in, but if you can get a handle on what you're focusing on and just think about it for a minute, you are back in charge. Things can hit you hard and quickly, but it's that ability to shift your focus and think about it that changes everything. The cingulate is actually now being called the emotional regulator and the executive operating officer. It manages everything.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, and something that I learned, too, in my spiritual training is, you know, there's power in your feelings. And, you know, it's kind of like you can ride your feelings, being aware of them, almost like riding on top of them, being aware of them. It's very powerful.
Yeah. I would say that the emotions are the driving force in human experience, and I know for me, I started learning to have frustration become the fuel that helped me work with the issues in neuropsychology and the very little we knew back in the 70s and the 80s to help my family, and the driving force to just keep reaching for more and more information and believing that we could figure it out and sustaining that effort, because there really was nowhere else to go. When your family's suffering and people you really care about are suffering, it doesn't go away. And you can either be a victim of it and have it destroy you or burden you, or you can use it as the fuel every day to get up and focus yourself on finding that solution. And that is the driving force that moves evolution, that moves change, that moves this evolving consciousness. So it's very, very powerful, but we have to aim it. We have to decide what direction it's going to go in.
Yeah, we're in charge.
We're in charge.
Instead of letting the emotions run us, we need to run the, you know, run our lives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how do we go? What is your technique, or you advise people to go from reacting to releasing?
Well, mostly when I notice that something unexpected is happening and I'm reacting, I first try to shift my thoughts instead of being pulled into them to step back for a second and ask myself what's happening. Usually, as I become aware of somebody's cut me off or somebody's betrayed someone or something really unexpected like that, as I become aware of what's happened, I immediately start to breathe. I've pretty much trained myself over the years, and I do it with the patients a lot because they tell me things, you know, about what other doctors have said or what's happened to them or all kinds of horrible stories. And it's very disturbing. It's not something that I can get pulled into every day and stay healthy. So when I feel that response inside myself, I start looking for what I would have to offer, and I sit there and I breathe evenly and slowly, because that immediate tension that rose and that emotion that rose up in me, I'm Italian, you know, it happens very quickly, and it just rises up. But if I breathe slowly and evenly, I can hear the information and think about it and slowly let my shoulders go down and be much more constructive with how I respond rather than get sucked into a bad situation. And that's a very simple, easy thing, shifting your focus from the problem to the solution and just breathing until you find a certain ease in your body to act from. One of the reasons why this is so important is because when we have those immediate reactions, the fight and flight response, it changes where the blood goes in your brain. And if you stay there, it puts you in this tunnel vision, this hyper-vigilant sort of perception of what's going on. And it's really very narrow, and it's not good for problem solving. Often people after a situation like that say, "What was I thinking? I can't believe I said that." And the answer is, you couldn't think. The blood goes away from the part of the brain where you can actually think and problem solve and be effective, because it just grabs you and drags you in one direction. So that breathing, that shifting is crucial to maintain your intelligence, to maintain your perspective and your effectiveness in whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's so important. Well, and then what about what you believe, how what you believe actually shapes your brain?
Oh, yeah. Do you have some particular example you're interested in?
No, you're the expert. I'm not.
Well, I mean, I think it's a very powerful question. What did the people who flew into the World Trade Center believe? What do people who get a diagnosis of cancer and go to Lourdes and are cured, what do they believe? I mean, this is the most powerful function that we have. Nobody can explain these extremes of belief yet, but it, I think, is a brain function. I believe that belief itself is a brain function, and we have all heard about the placebo effect and how the placebo effect changes our health and all kinds of circumstances, people who think they're actually getting a drug and it's really a sugar pill, but they believe in it, get better. What is that? That is a power of the human spirit that focuses the brain, focuses the body, moves all of our whole physical experience into a different state. I think that's probably the most powerful area that there is for us to learn about ourselves and to access. I think it trumps everything. The power of belief, and that's one of the first things I ask the patients about when they come in. Do they believe they can get better? Have they had any experience where they overcame limitations that they really can believe in? And if they haven't and they don't believe it, one of the first things I do is introduce them to people who have actually done what they don't believe they can do, so they can really see it and begin to believe in it. Because if it's something you don't believe in, it usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's almost like, and if it's not in our awareness, like there's a story of the Native Americans when, say, Christopher Columbus or whoever came across with their ships, the Native Americans, they couldn't see the ships because that wasn't in their belief system.
Yeah, they had no concept of what that was. The brain is fascinating. And the more we begin to define things and see it in other people or have an experience of it, the more we begin to realize that the power of our focus and our belief can override anything.
That's true. Well, this is Chris Stainis. We're talking to Charlotte Tomaino, and we are going to come back and talk to her some more soon. So stay tuned.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Dr. Charlotte Tomaino, who's the author of Awakening the Brain, and you can check her website out at www.awakeningthebrain.com. So let's talk about, because I think a lot of people are dealing with loved ones that they need to take care of or have difficulty managing, you know, working with somebody who has brain trauma, and how you might help people who are caregivers for people in this situation.
Yeah, I think that those are very challenging undertakings in life, and it's not unlike what I do for a living every day, listening to people who are pretty upset about these injuries and challenges that they're going through. I think for me, the thing that I talk to family members about the most is helping them to first understand what exactly the challenge is and what the limitations are. The more you resist the situation you're in and bemoan it, the more you yourself suffer. And so one of the first things I had to do with my sister is begin to understand what had happened to her, and then turn my focus mostly on trying to find solutions and keeping myself stable and productive. And that's a tall order, especially if you're around people who are very upset. And this is why I try to boil it down to something as simple as keeping your thoughts focused on the solution and what you're going to be able to do, breathing in and out evenly to keep your heart rate even so your heart's not racing and your body's not tensing even if they're upset. I've been practicing this for many, many years, and I can pretty much now sit in one of these conversations where people are pretty upset and breathe and listen and be attentive but not be dragged into it. And I know enough about brain injury that I can focus on what I can do that's constructive and keep myself oriented in what I can actually contribute rather than feel like I'm sort of being impacted by their pain and being dragged into it. That'll wear you out. And this is a big issue for people in any kind of health care, in any kind of caregiving, any kind of assisted living or any situation where you're around people who are ill or suffering. You really have to keep your eye on your own purpose and your own sense of accomplishment, even if it's in little things that you can do for them. Being positive and being purposeful is the key to your own wellness, because there's chemistry in our bodies associated with all of these emotions. When we go into the fight and flight response and we're upset too and how terrible it is, that kind of chemistry in our bodies actually shuts off the immune system. It actually creates stress hormones and adrenaline, cortisol, all of these things are really bad for our organs. So just taking a position of kindness and looking every day for what you can contribute and accepting the situation and wanting to make it better. Just how you focus your thoughts engages very different emotions and it engages very different chemistry inside you. Sometimes I have to just take breaks in between my sessions and walk outside and take a deep breath and come back in again just to keep myself balanced, just to keep myself available to do something constructive rather than reacting. Much better for your health. And so those kinds of tips are really essential for anyone in any of the career or family situations where someone is suffering and you're around that all day. That can be the biggest challenge you face and the greatest source of growth for you, to keep moving forward despite what's happening, or it can really be bad for your health.
And I would imagine, you know, and I would think it'd be hard for people to get this for themselves, but they also have to live their life. And so to get some relief, you know, maybe some substitute caregivers so that they can get out and do something that's just for them, because they're giving to this other person. And you can't do that 100% of the time, and
absolutely,
it's not healthy.
You have to have things that you love, the things you look forward to, the people that make you laugh, the joys in life. You have to have all of that as well. If you start cutting that off because you feel somehow the person you're caring for needs you, it's a common scenario that the caregiver is the one that often gets sick or has the bigger problem sooner. If you have partners in life where one is disabled, it's sometimes the one that's caring for them that dies first. And you really have to sustain a sense of purpose for your own life and rejuvenation in your own life in order to maintain your health.
Yes, and the other thing I kind of want to talk about is because we do get misinformation, even from the medical field and from doctors who say, mm-hmm. I have a friend who had a brain injury, I think from a car accident, and maybe it was 10 years ago or so, and she's still dealing with brain function issues. And in working with her, we're realizing how we can support her and realizing what the glitches are, and so we need to be very cognizant of that. But she shared that she's getting some cognitive therapy work, and someone came to evaluate her for just for an hour and determined that, well, this was years ago and she's not changed, so this isn't worth it to do this cognitive therapy. And yet she knows the value of it, and she's seeing her growth, and now it might be cut off because one person evaluated her. How can you overcome that? Where can you go to get the right kind of help that is going to be positive and open to the brain as unlimited, and all sorts of possibilities will happen? Where do they go?
You're raising a really important question, and it's one of the questions I tried to address in the book, because I told a story about a fellow who came to me 15 years after he had a very severe brain injury. He was driving on a parkway and hit a deer. And, you know, we all know that those things can happen and nobody wants it, but he landed in the hospital. And a really bright guy, an attorney, and he woke up and thought nothing was wrong with him. He denied all treatment. He wouldn't go through the treatment. He, over 15 years, he and his wife were divorced. His kids were alienated. He lost 3 jobs. His house was repossessed. He moved in with his mother, and his mother died. And it wasn't until all of that, 15 years later, that he finally agreed to come in for treatment. And, you know, he did extremely well. His skills improved. He got a handle on his emotions. I tell this story throughout the book just to give people this sense of perspective of what's possible. And when he finally hit the wall and decided to deal with it, 15 years later, he made major improvements. Now, we have a lot of issues going on in our world, and sometimes they are driven by money. And so we've given a lot of power to our insurance industry, and they set certain standards of who can get these treatments and what they'll pay for. But there's also different therapists and doctors that have different experiences. And, you know, not everybody who is in these fields, not all neuropsychologists, have a sister who had a brain injury and have a passion for this the way that I do. But there's lots of people like myself that are hopeful and have belief in people. And I think you just have to shop. I think you have to look for people, and you have to ask them flat out, do you believe that it's possible for the brain to continue to improve?
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off because we're going to have to leave this wonderful show, but it's just like, get a second opinion, talk to other people. If you're not getting the answers you want from the doctors you're seeing, there are people out there, and to know that there are, just like yourself, and check everybody. If you have a concern and you want to talk to Charlotte, she said she does consulting on the phone. Go to her website, www.awakeningthebrain.com. So thank you so much for being with us today, Charlotte.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's been great talking to you.
Yes, and so I am going to say goodbye now. I want to actually tell people my website is live, www.chrysalisleadership.com, and that's with a K, K-R-Y-S-A-L-I-S, leadership.com. Go to my Facebook page on Chrysalis Leadership and like it. I would love that. And you can contact me now at Chris, K-R-I-S, at chrysalisleadership.com. So I hope everybody has a great weekend, and I will be talking to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camino Island Coffee Roasters.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free.